You are listening to the Mindful Marketing Show podcast, episode 18.
Welcome to the Mindful Marketing Show with Kimberly Maska. You are about to be empowered as we teach you the best marketing strategies used by today's spiritual entrepreneurs. Get ready to share your message and inspire people worldwide.
Hello, I am Kimberly Maska, your Mindful Marketer, and I would like to welcome you to the relaunch of the Mindful Marketing Show, the podcast for spiritual entrepreneurs who are ready to change the world with their gift and have a business that reflects their authentic self. To celebrate the relaunch, I have a free gift for you. It is the Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business Guide. In it, you will find all of the tools you need to, well, jumpstart your spiritual business and create an abundance of time, money, and freedom. Don't wait to share your gift with the world. Get your copy of Jumpstart Your Spiritual Business today at mindfulmarketingshow.com. Now, before we jump in, this episode is brought to you by Kickstart Cart, my shopping cart of choice for myself and my clients. It has everything you need to create the business of your dreams with passive income, or as I like to call it, making money while you meditate. Picking the right shopping cart for your business is a big deal, and it can be very confusing. So what I have done is created a free workshop for you to help you through the decision-making process. You can find this free shopping cart workshop at mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. That is mindfulmarketingshow.com/kickstart. Now let's listen to this episode. Enjoy. Hello and welcome. I am Kimberly Maska, your host of Mindful Marketing, the podcast where today's mind, body, spirit thought leaders discuss the latest strategies to build your business and take the icky out of marketing. Joining us today is the goddess known as Jacqueline Gates. Jackie believes that every woman has something divinely awesome and utterly unique to bring to the world. She believes we need to question the labels that we've been given and choose for ourselves the ones that make us shine and sing. Jackie's passion is coaching women to live to their highest potential and finding the goddess within us all. Welcome, Jacqueline, and thank you so much for joining me here on Mindful Marketing. How are you today?
Oh, I'm practically perfect in every way, thank you.
That's an amazing answer. I always say I am perfect, just not all the time.
This is true, because that would be boring.
So, I love your goddess work that you're doing. What's your personal story, your journey going down that path into the goddess work?
Well, it's been a revelation, shall we say. It started off, I was raised in South Africa, born in Nigeria, raised in South Africa. And 16 years ago, my husband and I decided just for a lark, we would put his resume on the very new internet and see what happened. And what happened was a job in Minnesota, which we were really looking for pastures new. And so we sold up a 5-bedroomed home down to 8 suitcases and a couple of $1,000s. And we arrived in the States and we knew one person, and that was the person that had hired him.
Wow.
And I went from being relatively famous because I had a musical theater career and I was on stage 90% of the time, and to being absolutely anonymous. In fact, I could go for days with not speaking to anybody. Well, I didn't know anyone, and I wouldn't speak to anybody except my family because, you know, everybody that I knew was on the other side of the planet. So we came over here, and what happened was a complete reinvention. There's something about relocating or any kind of major life change like that. It'll give you a clean slate. And I had the delicious opportunity to question everything and not have any outside influences except for those I chose myself. And that was really the making of me. After about a year and a half, when I was allowed to work here in the country, because there's visa regulations and stuff, well, the first year and a half, I was able to do complete introspection, finding my own style, my own, I lost 45 pounds in the space of about 4 months because it was just so much that I was shedding that my body had to like keep up, you know? And then I went to work at one of my favorite stores, Barnes & Noble. And I really just started to read. Same as your kind of path. I just started to explore Deepak Chopra, Doreen Virtue, all these people who had massively important lives, what I felt was important, and things that, you know, the journeys that they were on, etc. And I really started to read a lot of nonfiction, which was, and self-help and spiritual stuff, which was, had not been my focus before when I was on stage. I was only reading biographies and how to sing better. And so when The Secret came out, suddenly that rang my bell. It was a case of, I realized I am utterly and completely responsible and accountable for the reality that I'm living. I also realized that we all are, but I am far bigger than I was currently manifesting. And I changed it. I read that book and we transformed our lives within 6 months. It was the most magical and eye-poppingly awesome time. And then about a year or so after that, I was playing with I am statements. And I was really not happy with the I ams that were coming up. They felt small and confined and outside sourced. And I thought, I need a label of my own. I need something to step up to and into. And I was working at Starbucks at the time, and $8 an hour. And one of my gorgeous regulars came and said, oh, I'm so glad you're here because you make the best latte. And I said, well, duh, I am the goddess of lattes. And he went, oh, yeah, of course you are. So, of course, the next morning he comes in, he goes, morning, goddess. And I went, morning. And everybody sort of turned and went, goddess? And I went, totally. So, and so eventually, well, within a very short time, this goddess title became my mantra, became my benchmark, became what I became, right? And it took, it was both a talisman, in other words, something to hold onto. It was something that I could sieve people through almost, because when you introduce yourself as a goddess, you can gauge by the reaction whether those people are with you or without you. And very quickly, right? And really, it just unfolded from there. And now that's what I live. And by living it, I help others do the same. Not everybody has to be a goddess, though. I just have to say that. But there are labels that you carry, that we carry, that are dumped on us by society or by other people, and that we don't have to carry for ourselves. And when we have a deliberate choice, we can choose something magnificent and vast and expansive, and we can be that. We can wear it and carry it like a banner. And it makes the unfolding so much more delicious.
I love that. Delicious. Anytime you can use the word delicious in a sentence, it's always good.
Oh, yeah. And more often than, or yeah, the more often you can, the better.
Right? Exactly. So what was the moment when you decided to make it a business versus the passion of being the goddess?
Well, I will say from the beginning, I'm a chronic oversharer, and social media has been the most wonderful thing in my entire life. So when I decided to become to go public with this whole goddessy thing, I actually made a video. And at this point, I didn't even have a YouTube channel. I just loaded it straight up onto Facebook. And I said, I am the goddess known as Jackie Gates. And the reaction was somewhat overwhelming. And then I had my first detractor. Somebody said, oh, I'm sure she's a witch. Or, you know, you're very full of yourself. And I went straight back and I said, okay, so, you know, is this a stupid thing to be saying to people? And again, the support and from the people who I admired. It's interesting that big, expansive, successful people will almost never poo-poo you stating something big about yourself. It's only the small people of the world that do that. And so the support I got was amazing. And so I really just chronicled my journey. I wrote in my blog about what I was learning, what I was unfolding, the lessons I'd picked up from living like this. And I was videoing a lot because I really missed being on stage. And this was kind of instant audience, right? And so the showman in me loved the video side. So I was doing that and basically just documenting it all and talking about it on Facebook. Without knowing and without focusing on it, I organically grew the 4,500 friends on Facebook and a fairly substantial following. And then out of the blue, I got a phone call one day. And this girl said to me, I am in Australia. I have been going through your blog for the past 3.5 hours, and I have read and watched everything you've done. I want to walk the same path as you. How do I do that?
That's amazing.
And I went, you mean like coaching? And she said, yes. I went, I'll have to get back to you on that. And I did. I said, I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Because I had to put the phone down and go, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, what do I do? So because it's one thing to walk a path, it's another thing to take your flashlight and shine it behind you so other people can follow. And fortunately, I had really good mentors at the time who said, you totally can do this. Just, you know, find your way. And I did. And she started to see the kind of unfolding that I had. She told a friend. I mentioned it on Facebook that I was actually helping somebody else. And all of a sudden, I was a coach.
That's incredible.
And it was both terrifying and exhilarating. And it has been, it is obviously an evolving journey. But yeah, it was totally accidental. I thought I was going to be in network marketing, but eventually my bigness told me that I was not ready to stand behind somebody else's product, that I had to be my own product.
That is a great story. So now that, so it happened incredibly organically. So now, now it is more, I would say, less organic, right? So now it's more of a process of business. So do you have an ideal client and then are you marketing to them?
Yes, my ideal client is always female, not for any other reason except that I think this is a very female-centric type of journey, because I know that with how busy we are, self-care and self-development tends to take a backseat. And it's my, I believe that a happy mom and a self-fulfilled mom is the best kind of nurturer on the planet. And our planet deserves more happy moms. And so that's really, that's where she is for me. And it's not so much a geographical thing or even an age thing. My perfect client, and I always call her my lovely because I have my lovelies on my list, she is ready to step into what she knows is inside.
That's amazing.
And so it's more an, not an ideological, it's a metaphorical niche as opposed to an actual physical one, because I have clients who are 60 plus and now reinventing themselves because all of a sudden they have all this time to do the things that they'd forgotten they wanted to do. And then I also have, you know, the quarter life crisis type ladies who are 25 and going, I did all the schooling, it's work, I'm stuck in a job I hate, where's the dream gone? So it's that kind of, it's stepping into your bigness, stepping into who you are and what you are here for.
And it's never too late to step back and look at the goddess we are and see how to make her better.
Exactly. And how to make her fuller. I mean, I don't think anybody needs fixing. I don't believe we're broken and need repairing. I believe that we need reminding of how brilliant we are. And sometimes the mirror that we look into, the metaphorical mirror, gets all fogged up and all messy because people keep putting things on it. It's my job to hold up a mirror and clear it so you can see yourself. And when you see yourself, invariably you'll think, oh my God, I am just awesome. And your business will take off from there.
Love it. I'm just sitting here smiling, listening to you. It's great. So what marketing strategy are you using now to reach those ideal clients? What's working best for you?
What works the best for me are conversations. And that's why Facebook has turned out to be my happy place. Twitter, as you can hear from the way I rabbit on all the time, I really battle to be confined to 140 characters. So, and really, you know, you don't resist what you are. So I am very happy on Facebook, and there are more than enough people on Facebook to keep me in multi-millions for the rest of my life. So Facebook and my blog, and YouTube, which it sort of fell off last year, but it's getting back there. These are my happy places. And this, the conversations are what always bring my people to me. So it'll start as a general, you talk about strategy. I always start as a, I start a conversation on my wall, on a blog. And then as people reply, I might metaphorically draw them aside to get more conversation. So I see Facebook as a kind of a tea party, and I have a table, I have tea and I have sandwiches and everything, and people come and gather and they'll stay for a while and they'll chat. And if somebody really resonates, I might take them aside and say, you know, here's another cup of tea. Tell me about that thing you were saying. And then I will invite them to my inner sanctum, which is the lovelies on my list. And once they're on my list, that's where the really good conversations come from. And I mostly don't get unsubscribed because I don't buy leads. And everybody who comes onto my list really wants to be there.
They're just drawn to you and what your authenticity, right? They're drawn to who you really are.
Yes. And I believe your inbox is sacred space. I will never dishonor you or myself by behaving badly in it.
Hmm.
And so therefore I will talk, I mean, I do affiliate marketing, but only for very few things because I buy so few things. I don't, you know, what I use, I will recommend. What I don't know or don't recommend, I will not ever push that, no matter how much the money's worth.
Right.
Because it's just not worth it. I wouldn't want to be treated like that by somebody I trusted with my email address. So therefore, I will never do it to them.
That's a very good lesson for everyone to listen to. Because it is, you're right, it is sacred space for sure.
And it's even more so because the world's got so very noisy.
Mm.
You know, in the old days, we signed up for every last blog and we signed up for every last newsletter because it was new and fresh and it was exciting to hear all these voices. Now it's like being in a market somewhere with a bazillion people yelling at you and you miss out on the things that could be insanely useful or really helpful because there's just so much noise.
It's a very loud place out there for sure.
Absolutely. And that's why finding people that resonate with you as a business owner is worth its weight in gold because they give you permission to speak to them. And that is never to be taken advantage of, and it is to be cherished.
Absolutely. So what do you think are the specific challenges in the mind, body, spirit community? What are the challenges that we face with our marketing?
I think it's because most of us sell what I call a soft product. We can say you'll feel better after you've done this energy session with me, or you'll feel better, or you'll do better. But that is so more intangible than saying something like your blog rank will go up X much many points in Alexa or something if you use this, or this plugin will get you something measurable. It's a soft product. And so I think it has to do not only with, it has to do with our own beingness, because people will relate and say, I want to be like her, therefore I want to use what she's using. Or I want to walk the same path, therefore I will follow her. And we also need to shift, particularly from dollars for hours. That is such an employee mindset. And as a business owner, we have to get out of it. We have to be outcome focused. And if the outcome that I can offer you means that you get a good night's sleep tonight, or you don't explode at your children, or you, I don't know, have a fantastic time just being by yourself instead of worrying all the time. Those kind of things are tangible, and those are outcomes that we need to focus on. We need to say what being with us will do for them.
Yeah. On the flip side, though, I will actually throw in my opinion saying that we also do need to measure our business, too, though, which I think because we do focus so much on what we're giving of ourselves, that we seem to not always focus on what our numbers are because we don't like to deal with that stuff.
And I would totally agree with you because the whole of last year, that was where I was. And then I suddenly went, I need to actually, I think a lot of the time we need to take it from being in our business and working on our business. The best thing I ever did for myself was start CEO meetings. Every Monday, I take myself off to the coffee shop because I find a change of environment very stimulating. And I have a meeting with my inner CEO and I work on my business rather than in it. So I'll look at where my reach is going, how my blog stats are going, how much money I made and how much, and what the possibilities are. I'll do a client check-in and all those kind of things. And it's very business owner, and it's a mindset that I step into rather than being in my business and actually coaching and writing and doing all those things.
That is amazing advice. I love that because you're right, because we all get too sucked into what we're doing every day. So to take that time, change a little of who we are, our persona, and just be that business owner. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand you have a book coming up, and tell me a little bit about the process you're going through, what we can learn from that. Are you going to self-publish or are you going to go a traditional publishing route?
I am thinking of doing, I'm actually working with somebody, but this is brand new, so I'm not 100% sure. But I think what is most likely is that it's going to be self-published Amazon Kindle format first and print on demand if you wish. I also will offer, I'll give links that have downloadable worksheets and that kind of thing to give an added experience to the book, because there's so much shelf health out there, what I call shelf health, where you read a book and you never implement. I really don't want mine. I spend years doing that. So I really don't want what I have to offer to be part of that. I want it workable. And to do that, you need to almost have a tangible product. So even if I do electronic publishing, there will be a tangible downloadable thingy to work on that you can have in your hands and mark off and make notes to yourself.
That's really nice, because we like to touch things still. I know I miss reading actual books for sure.
Absolutely. And for me, the eye, the mind and pen communication is very, it's intrinsic. I will almost always write something. My journaling and that kind of thing is always done by hand with a very special pen and scented ink because of the experience of it.
So true. I love that scented ink. Oh, I might have to steal that idea. We used to do that in like high school, right? Didn't the pen smell like grape?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I got a pen for my, I think it was my 40th birthday, and it was such a funny thing to ask for, but I wanted a top of the range fountain pen. Mm. And I got a really, really beautiful, ridiculously expensive one. and I get rose colored ink that smells like roses, and I'm using a green one that looks like money at the moment and smells like mint. I love it. My absolute best thing. And it's something about the immersion into the writing, that there's a deep soul connection with that. And you know, they talk about spontaneous writing where you just sit down and write whatever downloads, right? And I find that that connection deepens it.
That's real. I'm going to go out and buy a pen now. So what has been your biggest challenge with marketing?
Mostly, and I'm not quite sure how to phrase this, but I'll just be blunt. It's stepping out of the woo-woo side and into, hey, this is something that actually works and is usable. It's taking existential concepts and saying, this is how you apply it to housework. Because I talk about housework as self-care. I talk about making your home an amplification of the law of attraction. That has been a challenge to explain. And it became, I didn't realize how much embodying my philosophy, how important it was to actually live what I believe in. Because if you, for example, are selling weight loss products and you're sitting on the couch eating Doritos and drinking beer every Sunday, there is a disconnect there that your authentic self knows. And when you try and sell or do marketing, there is a fraud factor that will sabotage everything you try. But when you live and believe what you're talking about, you almost, the words just flow and people can sense it. They know you are in your truth and in your power, and it makes it so much more powerful that way.
It's amazing that I always think of it as the vibrations of our surroundings, right? And how that impacts
Absolutely.
You. Yeah, I love beautiful spaces. I'll say that for sure, no matter where.
Beauty has the highest vibration that we know of in the physical. And then, of course, it's different for everybody, because some people will like the minimalist thing. I love a full stage setting with lots of decor and embellishments and stuff. But beauty, whatever you think of as beauty, is probably the highest vibration, and it will pull you uptone. So, yes, the beautiful spaces, they have an effect on deep inside that is almost measurable as to your mindset and your productivity. That's why going to a 5-star hotel lobby and just sitting there and doing some work on your laptop, that will do so much for your beingness as a business owner.
That's another great one. Oh, I love your tips. So looking back on your journey, if you had to do it all over again, knowing what you know now, what would you do differently?
I would become my own product sooner. I wouldn't doubt so much. I wouldn't second guess and question what I knew worked. I would own my uniqueness sooner because just as we were talking about how noisy it is, it's the misfits and the unusual that stands out. And I wish I hadn't tried to fit into the herd for quite so long. And then I wouldn't play small for so long. There is so much that we are all capable of that we don't step up to and into. And it took me, I wish I could go back to my 30-year-old self and say, don't wait till you're 40. Do this now. You know, but everything arrives at the right time. So my 50th birthday was kind of a permission slip, but I really wish that it had come sooner.
And where do you see yourself going now? So you've got this amazing business, and are you going to continue to build your platform, or what are the next steps for you?
My next step is, because I delight in people, in meeting people face to face, and I also am totally at home on stage, I want to create goddess gatherings. I want to create live events that women can come out of with tangible, step-by-step, this is how my life's going to get better type things. And I want to begin a movement that is focused on reclaiming the sovereignty of our homes and using them to manifest the dream life that we long for. I believe we all can live now as a person we secretly dream of becoming. I have found that to be true. I have shown that to my clients. And that is exactly what I feel is kind of missing from the self-help industry, is the tangible, put this into everyday life type stuff. And that's where I'm going with mine. But to start with, I'm writing the book.
Fantastic. Any last bit of advice you would give to my listeners who are contemplating starting their business, maybe a little unsure in it? What would you, as a business owner, what tips would you give them?
I would say be really clear about your you-ness. Step into it, flaunt it. Your people will get it. Your people will find you. There's a resonance. There's people for people, right? And there's your people will find you if they can see you. So you've got to stand up and speak out. And for those who don't get it, pay no attention to them because they are not your people.
So I do mindful marketing tips. And one of my tips one day was not everyone's going to love you.
Uh-huh. And actually, it's really cool when the first person stands up and says, I don't like what you're doing, because it means you're speaking up loud enough for the people outside your immediate circle to hear you.
Mm.
So really celebrate your first naysayer. It's a good sign.
That's great advice. Well, you have been absolutely fantastic. If my listeners wanted to learn more about how to reach their inner goddess, where would they find you?
I am on jacquelinegates.com, JACQUELINE, Gates, as in Bill Gates, but no relation, unfortunately. So jacquelinegates.com, and you can also Google the goddess known as Jackie. I'm there. And then I'm on Facebook, and I would love to chat to you. So I'm with Jacqueline Gates on Facebook.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for your time. This has been a real blessing.
It's been wonderful to chat to you. Thank you.
You have been listening to The Mindful Marketing Show with me, your host, Kimberly Maska. You can get more information about this episode and all of my episodes at mindfulmarketingshow.com. There you'll find all of the show notes and links to the books and business resources we discussed. Again, that's mindfulmarketingshow.com. Until next time, be passionate, be inspired, and live your dream. Have a beautiful day.